Hi, this is Naroki 5. I am going to be doing this until I die or I find something better to do. So please help me achieve this personal and, I think, noble objective by contributing to my Patreon or Subscribestar. Link is down below. Every little bit helps. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Red Pill Nation Hangout. This is a, I won't call this an emergency episode because it's not an emergency episode, but it is Red Pill Nation Hangout number 397, if you're keeping track. Yeah, probably we'll be getting to episode number 400. Hopefully I can arrange for a few people to come back and do a quick appearance on number 400. 400 for me. God damn it. I can't believe I'm at episode 400 already. Anyway, I don't know how Henrik manages to afford to do this, but he was at January the 6th, and he managed to not get himself arrested, although a lot of other people did. But he was now, probably because it was in his backyard, he was at the Democrat convention in Chicago. Also, by the way, shameless shilling here, Patreon as Naroki 5. I am at BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, MGTOW TV, Brighteon, and yeah, I'm at, strangely enough, YouTube's my smallest channel, and I don't really promote YouTube very much, but somehow I've still managed to gain a fair number of subs over at YouTube, even though I don't promote it at all. I'm also at Facebook Minds, Gab, MeWe, Getter, and TLB Talks, at least for now. We'll eventually get off my ass and get on Odyssey and turn out Odyssey on Spotify and iTunes and all of those other neat little places as a podcast form. Maybe I'll start doing that around episode 400 or something, but I've just never seemed to, it always keeps slipping my mind. But getting back to Henrik here, Henrik has been at a couple of rather critical events. Now, if I recall correctly, unless the Democrats have had their convention at Chicago since, I think it was 1968, this is the first time the Democrat convention has been held in Chicago since 1968. And both times, things got a little insane and things got a little hairy. I can't imagine where is the Republican convention this year? Is it in Milwaukee?
It was in Milwaukee. Through the company I have with Scoob, we attempted to try and get to there. But I had family affairs with my girlfriend, so we went to there, and a lot of the people who were independent that were going there got denied credentials, so it was kind of good that we didn't go there. Tim Pool, when him and his company went there, they were able to get credentials and the like, but they had to rent out a completely separate building for the Republican convention. You know, the RNC was like, oh, yeah, sure, come on in if you're Fox News. Come on in if you're WGN, come on in if you're CNN, okay, sure, why not, you know, but you're not a mega corporation that does news, you're not the NTD, what do you want here, Mr. Pool, you know, and the guy had to spend a whole bunch of money, I don't know how much money he spent, and he had to get a whole separate building, so he had to basically try and drag people out of the RNC with that guy in the ghost face costume running around with a Kalashnikov, you know, trying to shoot people, you know, to get them to go into his building. So he could actually go right ahead and, have his show beyond technically the RNC. It was fun to see, at least for that.
That is really bizarre because the same thing happened here at the last conservative convention. They wouldn't let the Rebel or True North in there. Even though, they are the two outlets in Canada that are probably have the most invested in making sure that the conservatives get into power. Now, I'm just going to kind of sidetrack here to the Canada perspective on this as it currently stands. And this is something that I think Henrik can also identify with. There's a lot of conservatives out there. It's like you see their lips moving, you hear them saying the right thing, but when it actually comes time to actually put the pedal to the metal, and it's pretty much at that point, they disappear, they cower off into the corner, they let the woke mobsters pretty much do whatever they want to do. And I mean, it's going to become very important, because as I'm going to cover in 98 here on Sunday, the government in Brazil this week, well, they officially banned Rumble and X from the site, but they took it one step further and they banned bad. And it's a hefty fine, like it's almost $9,000 a day on anybody who uses a VPN in Brazil. I don't know how the hell they're going to enforce that. Yeah,
is that 9,000 American, or that's like 9,000 in their?
No, 9,000 American, just under $9,000 American. Per day.
Holy God, per day? Dear Lord.
Yeah, that's well, expensive. Okay. In Britain, and yeah, we will get to the Americans' political stuff here in just a second. In Britain, they are passing there. They're going to bring forward you probably have heard of the Online Harms Act. In Canada, the Canadian government has been kind of hesitant to kind of strong arm its citizens on that, because I mean, basically Trudeau is done whenever the next election gets called. But over in Britain, what Britain has done is that in the riots, they actually kept the courts open 24 hours, and they started arresting anybody who was making content comments in Britain that were critical of what the government was doing. And of course, they were having a two-tiered. This is something that I think we're getting very familiar with here in North America as well. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh. It's the police. They've heard you thinking they're going to indict you and arrest you and extradite you. Oh, you should be very afraid, Mr. Naroki.
I'm running scared here. They started arresting people in Britain who are saying things contrary to what the national policy is, specific and two-tiered policing, obviously. They put political pressure on the Canadian government to arrest Tommy Robinson when he was doing a speaking tour of Canada. They just simply arrested him. They didn't say what he was arrested for, and it got cleared up within about 48 hours. But they did it, right? And at the time, it was like, well, why would there was an election going on in Britain at the time, but it was like, why the hell would they be doing that? And it's like, it makes more sense when you look at the next thing that the British government is threatened to do. The British government is threatening to extradite anybody overseas who makes comments online critical of the British government. Now, I don't know why BitChute has not just packed up and left, but they haven't. So, I mean, I fully expect that, man, BitChute might just be gone by the end of the year. But here's some of the other stuff that we're talking about when we're getting into censorship. If you go on a lot of the corporate servers that are part of the globalist network, like say if you go on Indigo's or the company that I work for up north or whatever, if you go on a lot of company servers now, you will notice, for instance, just go on into an Indigo's and feel free to check this out. You cannot get Gab, BitChute, MGTOW TV, whatever, on private servers. That is going to
probably... Oh, man, that sucks. You can't get it on private servers?
Yeah, you can. Well, I mean, not all private servers. What happened at West Edmonton Mall was that I went in, and I don't put any VPNs or anything on my phone because I don't do. I mean, other than play games on my phone, I don't do any uploading or whatever on there, and it doesn't. I don't usually watch. I mean, the only videos I watch now on YouTube. The only time I watch them is actually on my phone, but I mean, I don't watch them when I'm, say, on a laptop like this. I just what I do is I will download them and I will upload them to my alt platforms and I will watch them there because fuck YouTube, they're not going to get any more money. Also, getting into the British government as well, the British government is going to try and pass. And this was something that was proposed 5 or 7 or 6 or 7 years ago, but now they're going to try to do this because it will give them some legitimacy in regards to Andrew Tate, a guy who I am covering on 396 at this point, is that they're going to try, if you start posting up Manosphere content in Britain, you will now be subject to hate speech laws. That is, I think, specifically, and they have threatened, and they're threatening to extradite anybody outside of Britain that attempts to do this. So it's like it wouldn't surprise me, for instance. And keep in mind, I'm not a fan of Fresh and Fit. I will kind of, sort of watch some stuff from Andrew Tate occasionally, but this is done to help give them some veneer to extradite Andrew Tate, a guy that I have a rather mixed opinion about. But I'm finding that I'm actually having to defend him more frequently than I really want to lately. But I mean, they're probably going to start going after some of the North American podcasters, whatever, Fresh and Fit, Rollo Tomasi, Sandman, those guys, right? They're probably going to try to extradite. They really want, for instance, Sandman. They really want to publicly out Sandman.
And think of this. Now, from what I understand, your country used to be a part of the United Kingdoms. You actually used to
It's
be.
still part of the Commonwealth. It is still part of the Commonwealth. Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna fight the snot out of you poor folks up there in the good north. They're going to get you, Naroki, the thought crime police. Are taking a deep disdain, good sir, of you not worshipping the government.
Yep, not worshiping the government. I'm like I said, I am making moves towards getting out of the big cities because again, and this is something you haven't heard about since you haven't really been on the show very much in the last couple of years. Edmonton, the city I live in, is the first North American experiment for 15-minute cities, and they keep and you're getting we're getting the same usual runaround that they've tried in Europe, where they say they're not going to do it, and then the moment your back is turned, they do try and do it, except they try to bring it in another form. So yeah, gonna
Yes, they're
be.
doing the switching of the words and making new legislation so that it's a 10 minute plus 5 minute city.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and like I say, I had a little bit of difficulties around work and the forest fires that we had up here this year, and I lost about a month, or it's actually more like 6 weeks worth of work. So my plans to move out of the city have at least been temporarily put on hold, at least potentially until the end of the year. It was kind of sucky because I found a really potentially nice place just outside, just about, well, it's more like the suburbs outside of Calgary that I would have been loved to move to, but I can't afford to do it right now. Although at this point, if things get really bad, I'm not opposed to moving to the US, although I have to figure out a way to make a living while I'm down there. So, yeah, keep in touch.
If you need me to sign some paperwork to sponsor you, buddy, Just let me know. I would very much like you to not have to worry about the thought police coming after you and your little dog and your children and your granny and your mother and your father, your brother, oh my. You know, you should be free. You know, like
exactly.
was supposed to be.
Okay, yeah.
You guys succeeded in 1812. I am so sorry for you guys.
Yeah, anyway. So the whole situation up here is pretty messed up, but the reason why I have Henrik on, and just Henrik on today, is because Henrik was at, just like J6, Henry was at the Democrat National Convention, and I have some questions about it, but I think probably the best thing to do would be just have Henrik describe the experience in his own words, and then once he's done, then I will jump in with some questions of my own. But for now, Henrik, start to finish. Take your time, but don't go like V style.
Gotcha. All right, I'll break it down day by day. Okay, so we actually wound up starting on Monday, if memory serves me correctly. So Monday, we wind up trying to figure out where in the heck we're supposed to go. We get an email Sunday that says, okay, your staff at Chaos Media are allowed to go to McCormick Place and get your credentials and da-da-da and all this stuff. And here, click this button to join Discord. And here, take this email and your IDs so you can enter McCormick Place. And it's like, okay, cool. The rest of the day was figuring out where the hell we're supposed to go, where we're supposed to go in to get into McCormick Place, because it literally went like this. I brought my equipment. I brought my girlfriend as a camera assistant and an aide, because, you know, she was on the paperwork too. Scoob attempted to make it, but he got stuck up in New York, so he wasn't able to make it. So he just basically assisted with the live streaming and so on and the information gathering. And Monday, we get to McCormick Place. We go over to the Hyatt. We get in line, and we wind up eventually waiting a good doggone minute there. And boy, oh boy. The good thing is, the Secret Service didn't give us too hard of a time. You know, you'll definitely have to see the footage, because they have these barricade walls that we commonly refer to as Kevlar walls. And the Secret Service got their AR-15s, M-16s, whatever the heck they were, their bomb-stiffing dogs and everything. And oh boy, took about an hour to get in there to get my vehicle searched. Had to give my identification, my conceal and carry permit, explained to them, it's Chicago, we kind of need guns because crackheads are crackheads and they want to kill you, so yeah. And then after that, finally park, pay, get the heck rolling to the wrong place, to where they tell us, oh, you're with the virtual content creators, yes, okay, you have to go over to the FEMA tent looking thing over in McCormick, you know, and go there. And oh my god, it took us 3 hours to figure out how the heck to get there. And then we found out that there is a whole list of prohibited items, that of which we were not told about whatsoever. And I had to go ahead and give my girlfriend my smokes, my matches, and she took her smokes and her cigarette lighter. She had to go back to the vehicle, drop all of that in there, then come back through. And then we finally get searched by TSA and that, and go through basically the same security stuff you go through if you're getting onto a plane. And then we finally get into McCormick Place, and then after that, we wind up trying to figure out not only where the heck are the rest of our content creators, what the hell are we doing? And we bounce to 4, 5, 6 different places to where it says press, 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 press. Because my girlfriend, myself, and Scoob all have press credentials from the Constitutional First Amendment Press Association. They'll pretty much give anyone press credentials. And, well, that doesn't get you anything at McCormick. Long story short, after we finally figure out the process and go put it up on X, formerly known as Twitter, on how to go about doing things as a virtual content creator, and then going, what the hell, Ellie Carrada? You could have told us to process Carrada. What the hell, Carrada? Dagnabbit. Because, yeah, boy, oh boy. I thought the Libertarian Party's convention was horribly chaotic and disorganized. This was worse. Horribly worse. And then, dear God, we finally get in, and we had to have just about every other person we asked who was a staff member or volunteer call 5, 6, 7 different people to try and figure out, okay, how do we get in? Are we allowed in here, there, or not at all? And then we wasted a good 7 hours of the day, I think, trying to figure out all these processes and crap, because no one communicated whatsoever. And then finally, okay, we get in, we find this area we go through to where we have to scan one of those QR codes and fill out some information and attend a freaking meeting. The good thing is we found one useful one from Yahoo, and we're going to be doing some business with them in the near future as far as protecting yourself from getting doxxed, having your identity stolen, and regular security stuff like that. So that was very helpful, but dear God, it was horrible. And then Tuesday, we were a little bit better. We run up doing, going through everything very, very quick, you know. The Secret Service guys basically wound up getting a kick out of every time I go there. I've got my handguns and my permits and so on, and they're like, "Oh, so you do have a voter registration card?" Yeah. Duh. And they got a kick out of that for some reason. I don't know. You know. And then finally, we figure out how to get through everything. And then the one thing is, okay, so for the virtual content creators, where's this lounge we're supposed to be able to get into? Where's this room for where there's meetings, you know? We were late for those on Monday. Going into Tuesday, we didn't find it whatsoever. There were all these nice little things all over the place to where you can do a photo shoot, and CNN and WGN are got their cameras set up and everything, and da-da-da, and all that jazz. And, yeah, it was very, very complicated. And then after we finally figured that out and figured out that here's was the difference. There are content creators which are allowed to go to both the United Center and the Freeman Place. And they went through all these complicated processes through the Democrats to go ahead and get their background checks done through a process with the government so that they would have these credentials they pick up from the United Center that allows them to go through, and in particular people of the press, like we are, but weren't respected as for the most part, had to go through that same process too, get cleared by the Secret Service, pay $200, $300, $400, $500 per staff member or whatever. And then here you go, you're cleared from the Secret Service, you get this badge, here you go, you're cleared from the United Center, you get this badge. And then, oh yes, on Tuesday, you're supposed to go over to another hotel, wait in line, and then pick your credentials so that you can go to both the United Center and McCormick Place. And you have to do this every single day. Every day, waste 4 hours. Every day, recycling credentials that damage the environment because they're not actually recyclable. But, you know, it's only good for 24 hours for whatever reason because they think you're going to go and sell it for crack cocaine or an AK or something. I don't know. Weirder things have happened in Chicago, like 18 bomb threats around the footprint of McCormick Place. And, you know, at about part 3 or 4 of our live stream on YouTube, you can actually see and hear the VTOLs flying overhead to deploy the Secret Service to start looking for those bombs. And thankfully, there were none that went off, so nothing went die hard. But, oh boy, yeah, nothing like misinformation, disinformation, lack of structure, lack of communication. Oh, dear God, it was horrible. Horrible.
I keep thinking that that was probably on purpose.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Yeah, now not have I don't smoke, but for smokers, not having cigarettes would be a complication. Continue.
Oh yeah, oh it was unbelievably crazy. So finally, the first 2 days we get all of that stuff done and over with, and then finally it comes to Wednesday and Thursday. For both of those days, we say, okay, we're done with the McCormick Place. We went out of our way to make videos on and a whole bunch of X posts about what the difference is between content creators and virtual content creators. And it basically boiled down to, for all the people who were in the virtual content creator program, you basically had to be a registered Democrat. You had to go through the whole email request process and fill out 6 different forms digitally to request to get credentials and all this stuff to be allowed into the Democrat convention. And then they give you the email and you bring your ID. And you basically get glorified general admission for McCormick and only McCormick. So it's like, yeah, that's nice. Cool. Totally. Just, you know, yeah. Oh, God. So we said to hell with that. And for the last 2 days of the convention, Scoob said, hey, it looks like Free Palestine is having a giant protest over at Union Park. You know, we missed it Monday, but that's okay because the Black Bloc, RevCom, the anarcho-communists and all the other, you know, usual bad actors in Chicago decided to band together and, you know, attack a handful of Palestinians, attack a handful of the cops and try and get the whole thing shut down. And then
that's all just a coincidence, of course.
Oh, naturally. Bob Avakian would totally never endorse violence that would lead to riots across the entire United States and at least 30 people or more mysteriously dead. No.
Oh, no.
Not the upstanding citizen of Bob, yeah, that is Bob Avakian. Oh, no. You know, all that stuff with the weather underground was water under the bridge. He's totally a new man now, you know? Totally not a terrorist. Absolutely not. No, no. This is just coincidences, comrades. You know, wouldn't explain why the ironically good communists we ran into at Union Park, you know, the RCA absolutely have a freaking rivalry with them. No clue. Not a communist wouldn't know. But hey, Vivek Ramaswamy went up to the RCA, gave them $5 for newspaper. I said, you know what? That's a good idea, Vivek. I'll do the same thing. I broke out my phone. I gave them $5. I got a newspaper, and I'm going to read it sometime. So yeah, that wasn't too bad, but yeah. Yeah, they got these mysterious ne'er-do-wells decided that Monday they were going to break into the United Center and get on the stage after they decided they had not enough fun with the tussle that they had with the Chicago Police Department and the pro-Palestine protesters. I was just telling them about the whole fun we had. We missed Monday with the rioters.
Just nearly.
Yeah, just narrowly missed them. Yeah, so I was telling them about how Vivek and us wound up buying a newspaper from the nice communists.
Yeah, and I still have the newspaper. We're actually going to go meet up with them because they told us it was at Humboldt Park. And we go there, and we're looking for them. We didn't, so we had a short stream on Twitter of how to prepare an MRE or something when you don't have certain shit. And
that was fun.
Yeah, and then they were looking for us because they were apparently elsewhere. Like, where the hell are those two crazy fucks?
Yeah, they bought newspapers. We want to invite them over for a barbecue. So, yeah, we got to make another play date with them. But, tell them about the 8-chaners we ran into when we were at Union Park for Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, they were fun people. So there's a guy dressed as Alfonso, somebody from Fate's Day Night anime series. The funniest thing about this kid was, well, I don't want to do any doxing here, but...
The costumed character that we made good friends with and lots of his other friends... Yeah. Went by a series of aliases. We're from 8chan and 4chan, and they all got together in their elaborate cosplay costumes.
And they were all hanging out. They actually went viral by the United Center that night. But we hung out with them for a bit. They gave us their contact info. We can communicate with them on Discord. They were going to be at the Rosemont?
Yeah,
Rosemont. At the most recent con they had at Rosemont.
Furry political communists. That was that's interesting. Continue.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it's absolutely hysterical. Yes. We got detached from them because of all of the hubbub with trying to follow this protest event and that protest event because there are multiple groups doing multiple marches Wednesday and Thursday. Mm-hmm. So they wound up getting on Timcast and InfoWars and several other channels on TV just because they wound up getting ahead of everyone else and just waved their flags around and waved hi to everyone Nazbol, like they were in a parade. The Nazbol flag.
Yeah, Nazbol flag. There was a funny incident where one of the 4chaners, we called him Captain 4chan because I couldn't remember his actual name.
And that was the costume he was wearing, ironically enough. He just had to remove certain symbols.
And no, he was racing down on Wednesday, he had a Nazi flag and a balaclava, and he went up there with it. And all of a sudden, we see him being chased by some Palestinians.
And a Jew.
And he's running like fucking mad. He runs into the alley, and some ANCOM or REPCOM guys threaten him, and he pulls out a switchblade on them. And then he got back to us. He's like, yeah.
That was fun. I'm not going to do that again. Yeah. And we're just like, dude. Next time, hide behind the cops.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will tell you what happened with I wasn't there, and the guy was clearly a plant, but there was an individual who pulled out, and I have no idea why he pulled out the Union flag at the Canadian at the trucker convoy event, and it's like, sorry, what does that have to do with anything? Right? Of course, he had his face.
There's something with the gun, done, do, done, did, or do, dong, dee. Government thing.
Yeah, he pulled up the rebel flag at the Freedom Convoy event in Ottawa, and everybody's like looking at him and saying, it's like, yeah, because Canada and the Deep South, you know, don't really. Like they're geographic.
Well, you know, y'all's is just a little colder than Arkansas, you know. Y'all stills welcomes downs here. Just don't ask us about why we're actually the thought police now. Yeah, we were very lucky to not run into any actual infiltrators that attacked us, but there were quite a few that were there. We actually, if you look at part 5 of our live stream near the end, leading the entire pro-Palestine march, you'll see a giant black flag. And my girlfriend asked me, hey, what the hell is that? And I'm like, holy shit, get back. That's the black bloc. Oh, crap. Because throughout the entirety of the time we were there, now and again, we'd see a couple people who were suspicious. And one guy in particular, who was one of those ANCOMs that works with the black bloc, was trying to lecture the 8chaners, like, oh, you guys were at the Che Guevara stuff and da-da-da-da-da yesterday. You know, come on, you guys got to be serious. And he's like, sir, we're from the internet. We are not serious, and we're apolitically humorous. You know, we're not here for anything other than the lulz. And this guy, like, kind of meltdown and stomped off.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there was a report on a couple of the independent channels redacted, pointed out that there was a highly suspicious degree of coordination between the protest groups outside that attempted the one where they actually did get to the stage. That was about as impromptu as taking down of the barriers at J6 in the direct path between where Trump was talking and the actual congressional building. That's the kind of coincidence.
Right out of my mouth, man. Because over at McCormick Place, they had those same Kevlar walls, as we call them, up. But right behind them, so that they couldn't be flipped in any way, shape, or form, was a concrete barricade. And with the footage that I've seen from China Uncensored and also Redacted, I found it very suspicious that, you know, come to think of it, when we were going around the United Center Thursday, briefly, because we could only get into their footprint, we couldn't actually go in because lack of credentials, lack of communication, they had the Kevlar walls up, but not at all of the locations, but only a few, did they have concrete barricades behind them. So, kind of suspicious, you know? Obama, Michelle, Joe, Kamala, Waltz, everybody else whose big DNC is there, and I don't know, you just make it so that these things can be flipped with 600 pounds of force. Kind of weird, huh?
And then they just happened to hit a spot that didn't have the concrete barriers, right? Yeah,
and there was totally very little Secret Service there to stop them, which was really strange, you know? And
just like how there's a curious lack of Secret Service around Thomas David Crooks as well. Yeah. I'm sensing a pattern here.
Oh, absolutely. It just, I don't know, if only I could point to several communist organizations in that have tried to kill me in the past.
ANCOM,
oh,
Revcom.
Black Bloc. Yeah, but I don't know, you know. None dare question His Holiness Babavakian the First, right? Totally not a terrorist. Yeah, all sorts of strange there, but yeah. Wednesday and Thursday was pretty decent because we didn't run into many major trouble. We almost got the chance to talk to Vivek. One Trump supporter got attacked
by a Palestinian, like literally they were leaving to start the march, and there were a few MAGA people there, and one of the pro-Palestinian took his cheap ass
picket sign, protest sign,
and snapped it over his leg and started shanking, or trying to anyway, the Trump supporter, and all of a sudden all the bike cops come pulling up. No ambulance got called, so it couldn't have been too bad.
That, or they went and took him into the ambulance a few blocks away, but yeah, it wasn't too bad.
And we would have heard sirens if that was the case. It wasn't police sirens.
Yeah, but it was, to quote the mainstream media, it was a mostly peaceful protest, honey. What do you think? Mostly peaceful?
I mean, it was mostly peaceful by force, because when we walked around on Thursday, the whole time we were there, I noticed there was SWAT. There was U.S. Secret Service, Capitol Police, State Police, the Department of Homeland Security was there. They had everybody. They pulled every cop around the entire fucking U.S., it feels like, and said, hey, we're going to need you over here. Why? We're expecting you to be as bad as 68. And my God, the show, of course, is like,
oh, yeah. I mean, tell them about what that Secret Service guy said when we were asking him about where the hell do we go to pick up our stuff.
I can't remember off the top.
But didn't they say that was basically overnight from Sunday to Monday? They threw 800 of them in?
Yeah, like we were asked where to go. He's like, yeah, overnight they threw 800 of us at like 5 in the morning, told us to get the fuck down here.
Yeah, so even they weren't aware of where anything was. And
the other Secret Service guy that we met when you were there, because like he was just like, that the original agenda they had been given on Sunday was completely different than what they had been given Monday. So it made their organization skills just as bad.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely terrible. I mean, friendly people, really good people and all that. I mean, shoot, from the last day, Thursday, when I was picking up my girlfriend to go take her over to the Union Park for the last day of the march and everything, you know, I got a Secret Service guy from Texas really got a kick that I had two pistols, a whole bunch of equipment that said press on it, and he's just knocking on the helmet just like, well, hot dog, you practically live out of this thing, don't you? Yes, I run my company out of it. I used to live into it for a little bit and da-da-da-da-da and that. He was just really enamored with all the gear I have, and he's like, is this normal? Yeah, it's Chicago.
They had to make sure the glass water bottles that we have that are actually repurposed out bottles weren't actually.
Yeah, they're like, oh, they're worried
but
about
all the
it.
Other times that he had gone there through that, it was really quick. This one time it took 40 fucking minutes, and it was the time I needed him to get the fuck from where I was.
Yeah, and that was the time when the Tex was admiring everything. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean, the way things are going with me, I mean, I literally had to buy another, because I have to go back and forth between home and where I work. Like, I literally had to buy a smaller suitcase just for all the portable electronics that I have to haul back and forth between camp here, which is the other reason why I'm thinking where I have to consider getting myself another laptop. That way I have a home set and I have a road set. You know, so it's sort of like, and it's like, well, you know, you have to get yourself a microphone, and then it's like, I've got the camera and I got the tripod. Hardly ever use it anymore since I don't really do much in the way of film production. But I mean, I've still got it. It's not plugged in or anything like that. But I mean, I'm reckoning I've probably reached the point where I'm going to have pretty much a portable studio at some point myself soon. You know, because
that's not a bad idea. That's basically what we had, because we were constantly live streaming as we went from here and there and that. And yeah, to just encapsulate all of it, it wasn't too bad. It could have been worse. I mean, it would have been nice if it was like when they had it in Chicago in 1992 when Bill Clinton was there, where everyone calmed the hell down. But no,
that's because it was Clinton.
Yeah, so they know that the crime family would get them if they acted up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny, because I think the Clintons were there this time around, too, which was quite funny.
I don't know. I didn't look at too many of the highlights. The stuff that I saw from inside the DNC, the stuff that stands out to me was, well, first of all, Bill Walsh, walking around with just a minimal disguise and actually trolling the CNN broadcast and getting booted out. And James O'Keefe going over to the other, where they have all the booze and everything, and him going up and confronting Act Blue over their large, suspicious donations being made.
Oh, I know right where they were at, too. Hey, remember when the other content creator was getting into that shindig where they're having the drinks in the supposed private meetings?
Yeah, I have a friend, whatever her name is. Yeah, she was able to get there and said, hey, I was able to get it real quick. There's still some food and booze. I'm like,
yeah, because they tried to have this whole thing where it's like, oh, no, you have to make sure that you're at the meeting on time and you have your ID and the email from Mrs. Corrada available so you can attend this. And yeah, she just basically snuck around and was like, I didn't need nothing. I just sat down and had beer and everything and was like, well, shoot, if we were about 10 paces behind you, we would have gotten there in time. Because, yeah, they must have been picking up on the fact that he was actually there because James O'Keefe, we walked right past him.
Oh, is that the guy when he was he gray hair that had who I thought seemed high and important?
I think so.
Okay, yeah.
Would have been one of his guys, yeah.
Yeah, he was talking to somebody. I'm like, this looks like a senator of some kind.
Yeah. But yeah, basically that area that she walked into,
yeah.
James O'Keefe must have went right behind her, right in front of her, because around the time she got there, he was there too, and he was approaching a couple people there. So we literally just walked right past him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he got into the face of the people over at Act Blue.
Yeah, I remember where they had their tent at. Yeah, we didn't get to get that close to that because, yeah, that's their donation platform.
Oh, the Democrats.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah, that's their as some people would call it a supposed alleged scheme for laundering monies, possibly unlawfully, to the nth degree, because surely a woman on Social Security that's in a one-bedroom condo can absolutely three times a day afford to donate $600 to Act Blue. Surely, surely. You know? Yeah,
these are all accusations. This is YouTube. You know how YouTube, you can't have to say possibly or allegedly. You can't say fact.
There might be something there.
Well, yeah, here's the thing about YouTube. I don't really give a shit if my channel gets shut down on YouTube anymore. The only reason I have a YouTube channel now is because it makes loading up at some of the other platforms that I'm on a lot easier. That's effectively the only reason I have YouTube anymore. I'm sure you've heard of this guy because he's in your neighborhood. He's up in Wisconsin, not in Chicago. Jeremy Hambling keeps saying, "Well, I mean, I'd like to leave YouTube, but they're 80% of the viewing audience. It's you know, because Jeremy Hambling's a lot about the money, right?" And it's like, and my response to that is, well, yeah, they're 80% now. Right.
Right. Like, oh, speaking of money and all that, there was one big money fellow that was talking to us in Discord who we were trying to get to attend the DNC. And it's Timmy Poole's rival, Mr. Ed Krasenstein.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not. I can provide the DMs to you in private. What? Yeah.
Okay, what? I will. I promise I won't use them. But it's like, oh God, what a sorry, just.
Oh paid, no, it's fine.
Paid liar. That's really the only thing I can say.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, of course his relevance has gone down significantly now that Twitter/X is no longer pushing his responses up to the top of Donald Trump's feed now.
Mm-hmm. And here's the funny thing. Him, with all his deep pockets and everything, couldn't be bothered to attend the DNC. I told him, hey.
He was too terrified to come. Like, literally, he was like, but I might get shot. I remember he was showing it to me. Something along with, I'm a little nervous, man. I might get shot. And he's like, come here, bring the dogs, man. We'll take you out to some good Chicago-style dogs. Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, Jack. You're the big shot over here. You're the head of the content creator server, which we still have access to. We expected them to actually delete it. But it's still up. And the other app that they gave people, Greenfly, for really all of the. Works. Yeah, it.
Hello? Hello?
TikTok template.
Hello?
Oh, shoot. You able to hear us?
Yeah, it's you cut out for a few minutes here. Say something.
Okay. How about now? Are you able to hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine now. Yeah, you may have to repeat the last probably about 45 seconds.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we were just talking about one of the things that they provided to the virtual content creators as a toolkit was this app called Greenfly. And what they did is every day of the convention, and even presently right now, they would upload pictures and videos and all sorts of Democrat propaganda and that for people to use for making TikTok dance videos and stuff. But, you know, the strangest thing occurred, Naroki. I tried to download it onto my phone. I tried to download it onto my laptop, and it just wouldn't work. What I had to do was use screen capture to take the pictures and then use the screen captures to go ahead and actually clip the non-essentials out of there. And I had to use that, and everyone in that Discord server had a hard time using stuff, so I decided to do them a favor, and so did my girlfriend. We went into McCormick Place and took a lot of pictures of things that people could use, like podiums and empty rooms and such, so that if people wanted to go ahead and, you know, make their finest DNC propaganda, they could actually have something they could use, you know? And I did this for the DNC free of charge and its virtual content creators for $0.00. Chaos Media made zero money on that. It was, I suppose you could say, a disgruntled charitable donation because their lack of their app just didn't work worth a damn, you know?
Okay, well, maybe send me the link. That way I can probably use it when I get around to posting this app. Because, well, I mean, I usually do slideshow.
Yeah, you know. I can send you all those pictures. I still have them on my other phone. I'll just have to do the usual thing to where I have to use the share button and try and send it with before the dang thing crashes. But yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, it's like I say, I have to finish up 396 tonight. So in comparison to the RNC convention, I'm going to, based upon what you're telling me, I take it that the RNC convention was a whole lot more peaceful.
Yes, it was a whole lot more peaceful and it was better structured. There was one individual in part one that we met who was with a newspaper somewhere out of Florida. And more or less off the record, he said something equivalent to, this place is so horribly disorganized and made the RNC look good. But that's nothing you can say I said officially, though. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, he wanted his name redacted. I told him absolutely no problem whatsoever. He'll be edited out of part one. And then we'll re-upload it onto YouTube and BitChute and everywhere else after that's all figured out. Because I respect the guy. He was honest with me. He told us about the cool camera equipment he got and everything. And just the chit-chat and that. Well, you know, I don't want to get the poor guy fired in that. But, yeah, if a diehard Maoist salad-fisting Democrat says that they were so horribly managing everything and everything was such a crapshoot that it made the Republicans look stellar, and even the moron libertarians look like they had some competency. The Joe Biden's kicking in because it's like, hon, who needs the infrastructure? We're going to invade Fallujah to reduce the price of insulin, man. Come on, Jack. Hey, Chicago. You just
did the thing. Rock.
Exactly. You get it. So, yeah. Oh, good experience overall. A couple good business contacts. We actually wound up running into Tenet Media while we were at Union Park covering
which
all
one? The which one? Which one for them? Tim Pool, Matt Christensen? Yes. Tim Pool.
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't Tim Pool staff directly, but it was someone in their network because they actually had a badge that said Tenet Media, and I gave them our company's QR code and da-da-da and that, and, you know, at some point in the future, we'll likely reach out to them. But, yeah, it was fairly decent. The only thing is, dear God, was it nuts. Thursday, these people protested until 4 in the freaking morning, and the cops just had to keep blocking off streets, and there were so many riot cops ready to go and start curb snopping.
Well, here's something really interesting. This is a sorry. I'll let you finish, and then I'll say. Then I'll say what I'm going to say. So go ahead. Let your girlfriend. I'll let your girlfriend talk first. Hello.
Crap. Sorry, we had a malfunction. What were you saying?
Jordan Peterson, and this is something I'm going to have to remember if I ever get to the point where I'm on the speaking circuit. Jordan Peterson, this is part of the reason why Jordan Peterson doesn't get hit with a lot of protests anymore. What Jordan Peterson does if he has to go and do a speech on the weekend or even during the day is that he will book it for, like, not in the evening, but he'll book it in the, like, for, like, say, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday or a Saturday because this crowd is usually consume so much alcohol and they partied so hard that like 99% of them are still like asleep or hung over when he's going on stage to do his speech.
Oh God, that's funny. Yeah. You know,
so it's
since you mentioned originally the Democrat National Convention was supposed to partake. It was supposed to start off not on that Monday. It was supposed to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then I believe wrap up on Tuesday. And then for some reason, they changed the dates so that it started on Monday and ended on a Thursday. And it was very strange. Like, I don't know. It kind of makes you assume, honey. Don't you think it seemed like they really wanted the protesters there, given that, yeah.
They didn't want protesters. They wanted rioters. They want to have an excuse to say, see, look, see, they're crazy. See how these whole dirty Republicans, see how crazy they are? They wanted that, and they didn't quite get that reaction. Instead, they had sleeper agents trying to bullshit.
Yeah, and then there was the Westboro Baptist Church.
Some kind of church. I don't know what it was. They did show up. We weren't there at the United Center. That's where what the H-Hanners were doing to tick them off is they were dancing and doing TikTok dances and everything in front of these Westboro Baptist people who are blowing a fucking gasket.
How dare you dance in the name of Jeebus?
It's like that scene from Team Something Hunger for Team Aqua Hunger Force, whatever it is. Basically,
yeah, Team Aqua.
It's like Hunger he's Force. Like, this is a mighty Bible. It's like this is a mighty Bible. It says Bible. You dare question the word of the mighty Jimmy? Something like that. Yeah.
I gotta point something out, and this is something that a lot of people have not. Real, because they've been kind of been pushed to the background. I mean, those hypocrites. I mean, I can't remember Joel Osteen's name gets dropped off, but I mean, Robert Schuller is still around. Like those big televangelists, those hypocritical televangelists, they're still around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have YouTube channels too.
You know, it's like I don't see any difference between them and say the people over at BLM, Patrice Cullors, who go out and buy mansions just like from the donations given to them by BLM, as opposed to say what Robert Schuller or Joel Osteen do with the donations that they get in their church, and they go out and buy mansions. Like there's literally no difference. It's like horseshoe theory manifesting itself in reality.
Essentially,
I'll take that. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, there were a couple BLM guys there. They did their whole speech about how they're owed reparations and that. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, let's avoid those people. That was a whole bunch of not fun. We did though before the whole convention wrapped up and everything. I actually get one defaced, well, triple defaced Kamala Harris and Jim Waltz poster.
Yeah, I defaced one, and we tried to get it off. I drew a gas mask on and wrote "Apocalypse, get out of here, stalker." And this guy from, because there had been so many that we had seen that had been painted over by the city, and then the city of
Streets and Sanitation
pulls up, and he sees us with this itty-bitty X-Acto knife trying to cut it off, and he just looks at us with a wry grin and handed us over a paint scraper and said, this might do the job better, but I'm going to only give you a few minutes after we explain what we want to do. So we tore it off, and I'm going to go to Hobby Lobby here soon and get a piece of bright red paper or a poster and then glue it on, because the spray paint somebody had used prior was a bright red color.
Yeah, so we got ourselves nice, genuine artifacts for that event, and yeah. Quite fun indeed.
Yeah, so, you mentioned at the start the Libertarian Convention, and you were there for that as well. I am absolutely gobsmacked that the Libertarian Party, well, I mean, if you go to the Libertarian Party on Twitter, I mean, they might as well, a little specifically next Twitter, you would think that they were just another branch of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
I was pretty much gobsmacked their nominee. Like, it's almost as if they want people to go and vote for the Democrats based upon... Based upon what I've seen, like, I mean, the guy that they nominated this time around is just like, wow.
He's Mr. Antifa, Jay Soliver there. Yep.
I really don't know what's going to happen, because, like, I mean, at this point, I mean, like I said, I said this a few years ago. The first of the two major parties that actually relatively returns to sanity is probably going to get dominate politics for the next 20 years. It's looking sort of like the Republicans are getting there, but you know what? There's still a significant rhino. There's still significant rhino content inside the Republican Party.
Oh, undoubtedly.
And just like with the conservatives, I mean, for instance, we've got somebody, a conservative politician here who sits in the House of Commons, Michelle Remple Garner. She's Soros bought and paid for. And she's also sitting in the House of Commons as a conservative. And there's a few of them there like that. Andrew Scheer is also probably one. He was the guy who was head of the Conservative Party before Poilievre took over. So yeah, I mean, well, it's like this pretty much everywhere at this point. I mean, at least it's looking like, and by the way, I'm going to say this for the Canadian listeners and for the back from I, since I have a huge audience in the U.S., I won't say huge, but most of my audience is in the U.S. I was a traditional, up until probably about 10 years ago, I was a traditional new NDP supporter. And for those of you who don't know what the NDP is, that's like they're traditionally left of the Liberals. And I mean, I pretty much had to just stop supporting them because it's just like ridiculous. But I mean, it's like, you know, I would probably, you were going to classify me as any type of label, you'd probably classify me as a classical liberal. But I mean, it's like, you know, what I think is going to have to happen here is that they're going to have to pick one of the two major parties. This is going to have to happen in like literally all of the Five Eyes countries, which is US, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and potentially South Africa as well. They're going to have to pick a party, and they're just basically going to have to pretty much purge it of all of the globalists and all of the bought and paid for members that are all the Soros bought and paid for puppets, and then basically use that as the base to strike out. Because it's like, yeah, I got to point this out here. I'm not necessarily Team Trump, but I mean, Trump is going to obviously have, assuming he wins, and I have to suspect that he probably will win, Trump cannot do politics as usual when he becomes president, and he's going to have to almost immediately start almost doing what Javier Milei is doing in Argentina. He's going to have to like start cutting massive swaths of the government off.
Absolutely.
From the government tip. Yeah, I mean, people get pissed off at Javier Milei for doing what he's doing, but it's like, you know, my personal suspicion is that people who don't, I mean, keep in mind, I'm also not in the Malay camp, but I mean, what Javier Milei is doing in Argentina, I suspect there's going to be more than a few countries in the West that are probably going to start following suit.
Oh, undoubtedly. Like, that's the one thing that I do like about both Trump and Javier Milei is they're making big ripples in politics to the point to where it's not that they're just becoming like their own kind of cult of personality, but they're making a cause and effect to where there are several people who are being organic and going about, you know, trying to actually make peaceable alternative government parties and stuff. Like, shoot, like the whole Make America Great Again thing has actually gotten so big that, ironically enough, there's actually one guy who's spearheading the MAGA communist movement. Which is actually hysterical.
Well, I mean, the whole Trump's whole platform is so obvious that, I mean, you know, like Kamala Harris has to start copying it to avoid losing support.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because, I mean, you can do everything that you can to, you know, put her in power, switch the superdelegates around and all that stuff. And try and just, you know, pump and dump and artificially inflate, do all this gobbledygook like they usually do, you know, shadow campaign stealing, etc. Oh my. But at the end of the day, she has to actually show up. She can't permanently be in the basement and just have Tampon Timmy there go ahead and do all the talking. You know, she's got to show up. She's got to debate. She has to speak. She has to at least do something.
Well, I mean, she has to sit across the table from Xi Jinping. Mm-hmm. And engage in some what are going to likely be some very tense negotiations.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, it's like, do you seriously think that Kamala Harris is going to be able, like Trump, definitely, I could trust Trump to be, same thing with Putin, right? Although I suspect that Trump and Putin would probably be a lot more amicable towards each other. But Xi Jinping, I mean, like, yeah, it's like you have to, like, she can't pull with Xi Jinping the stuff that she was pulling with her own staff. And that's the thing about that. I mean, three quarters of her, of the staff over the 4 years that she had changed years that she was in, when she was in the White House. Cause I mean, she's abusive and she's a bully. And apparently she's also a drunk. It's like, yeah, you want this person.
She sounds worse than Hillary Clinton.
Well, she is worse. I mean, Hillary Clinton at least had something resembling a working brain, right? Harris, and yeah, I remember this.
Hillary, Hillary was at least able to get things done. It often involves some mysterious things and people being, I don't know, what was the last thing that happened, buddy?
Unalived.
Or tie himself around a tree, and then 20 feet away with his shotgun.
He shot himself with a shotgun while being tied to the fucking tree. And if you shoot a shotgun and you're not holding it right, the furthest it'll go back is maybe 2 feet.
So yeah, kind of mysterious. It's like 20 feet away, and it's like, oh, he shot himself with his own shotgun and duct taped himself to a tree with an extension cord.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she's got enough of a brain to get that to work somehow.
Yeah. So yeah, the whole experience. Have to ask this: are there any prominent individuals from the alt media that you ran into? Like, you didn't see Matt Walsh or Tim Pool or any of those guys walking around while you were there?
Actually, no. The only other media we ran into other than the mainstream was Tenet. We ran into them briefly, and there actually was one person who was from the Content Creators Program that interviewed me. And it was kind of funny because we both talked about, you know, how the comical irony of the situation. That was basically it as far as independent media. I mean, I understand that China Uncensored had some people there, but I didn't exactly see Machinasia or anything, or anyone from their staff. I mean, for the most part, if there was anyone from the alternative media there, they were likely there in disguise, just like how I was, you know, and my girlfriend.
Or Matt Walsh. Or Matt Walsh. Oh, my God. That Matt Walsh thing was just hilarious.
It would have been nice to have run into them. The most alternative people we run into was a couple people from Tenet Media. I think there was one guy there, but I didn't get the chance to talk to him because this guy had a really sharp suit and everything. And I think it was, his name is on the tip of my tongue. The guy that's was trying to get it in with Ben Shapiro and was like stalking him and all that. And he's like, basically.
Nick Fuentes.
Fuentes. Yeah, that guy. I swear. I think I saw him there. He was interviewing one of the people there that were doing the whole 8chan or Thug Shake thing with the whole dancing routine and stuff.
I
seen him. Yeah, I swear to God, I seen Nick Fuentes there interviewing somebody. Then my girlfriend and I go and hydrate and everything, and we come back, and then he's gone.
Well, Nick Fuentes really can't hang out near the Black Bloc or whatever. His face is too recognizable. If he'd been out there unprotected, yeah, they would have absolutely swarmed him.
I could have. And asked the fire department for protection. I mean, there was a whole bunch of guys from the Chicago Fire Department that were protesting because they haven't gotten a contract, and a lot of them were pro-Trump. Like, most of the people wearing Trump gear that we run into were from the Chicago Fire Department. I was like, wow, that's actually kind of cool. So that was interesting.
Well, police, fire, ambulance, the majority of those people usually tend to vote Republican anyway. Like, that's what I've noticed.
Definitely, because, I mean, shoot. Yeah, even the guy from Streets and Sanitation had a Trump shirt on when he was giving us the paint scraper. So, yeah, that definitely is a thing. But, it was nuts. It took us an hour and a half to get home because these people were just marching and marching and marching. And long story short, Lake Street is right underneath the Metra. It's one of their above-ground tracks. And if you're trying to get on I-94 to go east or west, you have to go through Lake Street, you know, so it was very difficult to get around that because the police were trying to box them in and politely disperse them. And a cab showed up there. So that was a whole bunch of fun. They were trying to pick fights with the cops, but thankfully the cops outnumbered them. So they just basically tried to
you know, just guilt them in the cop, and CPD was not having it because, yeah, sure, there wasn't too many white cops out there because they were tired of their shit, too. So, yeah, the proverbial Chirakistanian minority team was in finest gear and ready to go curb stomping. So, yeah, thankfully, there wasn't too much trouble in that. There was one weird thing we did have occur, because while we were setting up the live stream and going around in that, there was one piece of artwork that In Union Park RevCom had made. For it was basically this fake little bomb that had, you know, Trump, Biden, and Kamala on there, and it was, you know, like, you know, their whole anti-genocide thing, whatever. But every time when we were live streaming, we try to get close up to it, it caused trouble with the phone. So we reported that to CPD and like, that's kind of suspicious, you know. So I don't know, maybe they had a little stereo in there or something. No idea.
Interesting. So, based upon some of the of the footage that I have seen, based upon what your coverage is, it looks like people tried to start an event there, and at one point they did manage to get one person to the stage, but they were organized enough, and they were aware enough to understand. And I'm going to have to assume this is because the old media is letting people know that, I mean, you know, these people show up, they're attempting to create an incident, because this is stuff that goes all the way back, even back when people were protesting Milo Yiannopoulos' speeches on university campuses back in 2017, 2018, right? You know, Antifa would show up, and what they would do, they stopped doing this after they got their asses handed to them at Berkeley, is that they would have these like little 5 foot nothing girls come up to the front, and they would say something to members of the alt media, whatever, but they would say it really, really lightly so that you couldn't hear them. And you'd have to go up and you have to go, what? And if you got too close to them, they would scream, and that would be their impetus to come in basically and start acting like thugs. And that stopped happening at that event in Berkeley once again because people started getting wise to it. So it's like, yeah, so now they have to try and basically go in and try to spark an incident. And again, because it only worked once at January the 6th. Everybody is now aware, or most of the chief organizers are now aware, that if somebody that if a gap in a fence starts up somewhere, don't go in. Right? Don't go in. Let the protesters go in. That's what So I mean, even though, you know, for instance, that article with Revolver and that incident with Ray Epps and whatever, it's sort of like, you know, like their attempts to try to create an event is getting less and less effective. That appears to be what's happening as well.
Yeah, that is a good thing. It seems like they're having to make more brutal forces and like strike groups and that to go in and do something. And because everyone knows that they're screwing around, apolitical people, like the people we ran into in costume, the 8chaners and the 4chaners, are basically preventing them, from the most part, from doing things of that nature by going, oh, I see what that guy is doing. Hey, you want to go dance in front of him and piss him off? Yeah, sure, totally. The cops are going to be right in front of us anyway, so yeah, let's go do it. And then, yeah, they get really grumpy because they're going to get ready to go ahead and go charge up to somebody or go throw fireworks. And the next thing you know, you have a guy in a French maid outfit and a guy that looks like Slender Man and a guy in a stormtrooper costume waving around a whole bunch of different alternative political flags just start breaking into a jive dance, you know, and it's just like, oh, okay, there you go. There was your opportunity to do something criminal, and you got denied. And then, you know, it works out really great because they always seem to have their media waiting for them to go ahead and do all of these illegal activities in that, because they had footage of them breaking into the United Center and getting on stage, and they're the only thing that there isn't footage of yet, as far as I'm aware of, is for the breakfast that happened at the DNC for all the delegates. There's all this thing about somebody got in there and put maggots in the food. No footage of that.
Maggots in the, oh, God.
Yeah, there's that and all the bomb threats. There was
there were 18, if I remember correctly, 18 bomb threats called in at several hotels around McCormick Place. And that's why the VTOLs were going. Because if you look over at, I think it's part three or part four, if you look around the footprint of McCormick Place, there's just the Chicago and Illinois cops there, and there's hardly any Secret Service. And then overhead, just boom, four VTOLs going somewhere and dropping off people. You know, might be the Secret Service looking for those bomb threats, you know?
I'm surprised somebody didn't try to just go in, drop something off, and then leave. It's amazing that nothing like that happened.
I mean, the thing that's, like, as far as, like, the scary if, seeing as how, like, I was able to get in with my firearms is because I had my permit and everything, but I wasn't able to walk around with them. I had to basically lock them in the vehicle and lock them inside a box and all that and make sure that was in place. And, you know, let the guys know, yeah, here's my permits, here's this and that, you know. I parked over there, I paid for that, that's being monitored. So if anyone that isn't with my staff goes near there, please stop them, yeah. If someone had wanted to, you know, just like a glowy in that, if they had their conceal and carry permit and decided to go in there with, oh, I don't know, a handgun and several hundred rounds of ammunition and decided to go walk around the footprint and just start attacking people and yelling the Confederate battle something or other, oh, it would have been horrible. And, yeah, thankfully that didn't happen whatsoever, but yeah. There was a possibility of that happening, but hey, the good thing is, if that would have happened, I've got my lawyers, and I have my conceal and carry permit, and it would have been a John McClane diehard moment where it's like, don't worry, you've got local backup. But yeah, whew, so glad that nobody decided to go like they did over at the RNC, get on a costume and take a firearm and decide to start shooting places up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we thankfully didn't have that. It seems sectarian violence was more so on the menu this time around. And, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't, well, Chicago. Yeah, hopefully hopefully it stays that way. I very much doubt. It's, like, based upon some of the stuff that I'm seeing internationally, and even some of the stuff that I'm seeing domestically here, they're getting incredibly desperate at this point. I mean, them as in the globalists or whatever. And they just, you know, when they start to lose really badly, when they start getting cornered, when there's BS starts getting called out, they start flinging stuff out and they start getting more agitated. Like, I mean, yeah, Robbie Starbuck, for instance, this week, they had to go back and revisit Tractor Supply, John Deere, and Harley Davidson and go, no, you don't get the claim that you drop DEI. And then as soon as our back is turned, try to reinitiate it as bridge. Like, that ain't happening. Like, if you try and do that, like, the boycott you're already under is going to get worse. Ford and, I'm trying to remember what the name of the other one is, Ford Company, I think it's Home Depot and Ford, were the most recent victims of Robbie Starbuck. And what's happening is finally THC. And by the way, the president of THC, woke lesbian woman of color. Yeah, so what's happening is they're actually starting to have to, like, make countermeasures against Robbie Starbuck, because so far, all he's had to do is just go over to their page where they list all the companies that are supporting their initiatives. And he just basically has to go through, you know, and find one that's not consistent with being left-wing point of view and just go after them. And it's like now you're at, like, what, six, let's see, hold on a second. Well, if Bud Light was initial, so they don't really count. You have, I think it was Everyday Fitness or whatever.
Yeah, it was Total Fitness, I think, or Bally Total, one of them. Yeah, it's one of those places.
Tractor Supply, Harley Davidson, Bud, Jack Daniels, Ford and Home Depot. So that's like seven.
Yep, that's seven of them. And yeah, because totally, you know, those DEI trans lesbians are totally going to be, you know, lying around on the 1978 Harley-Davidson Fat Boy or a Fat Boy lookalike, like the classic they have in Terminator 2. Yeah, they're totally going to be driving those. Oh, yeah. You know, it's not like almost 99.999% of the Harley-Davidson's customer base are people who are former military and are in, you know, some kind of service like, you know, the Postal Service, the fire department, the police, private investigators, and all the, you know, small 1% of the, you know, motorcycle groups that are, oh, I don't know, your usual outlaws, your banditos, your American lawmen, and so on. Yeah, it's not like those people are their, you know, customer base. You know, totally. No, it's those transgendered quad-dimensional brony lords. You know, that's their new baseline customer they totally want. Yeah, they're totally going to be buying, you know, electroglides and trikes and stuff of that nature. Sure. Queer dollars matter. Gotta love it when Larry Fink decides to spin all this stuff up and just, you know, prints out the GDP of 8 different fucking countries, goes to all these companies and goes, here, just push this. I will pay you. Forget about selling anything. Don't worry about it. Yeah, gotta love it. You know, but I'm glad that MAGA struggle session, as I, you know, had coined it a while ago, is finally, you know, working. Because I was telling Dave Kelso this, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go get my socks and do my breath up here, Charlie. Yeah, but, yeah, like I was telling Dave, telling him that, yeah, eventually we're going to turn the struggle session against itself. This is how their Maoism goes, and thankfully, now that's finally happening. I'm very happy that Mr. Starbuck and several other people are bucking this system, you know? Because we shouldn't have to bow to Mao, you know? This is ridiculous, man.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, this is, I think we pretty much covered everything, unless you have anything else that you want to add in here. Coming up soon is, what I'm going to probably have to do, and I think we may have to organize this ahead of time, is that we may have to have an election night special. See if we can't organize it with Kelso and everybody else so that we can all be on at the same time.
That would be awesome. Hopefully by then I can have my little live stream set up in the basement.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, so talk to Kelso about it. See if we can't get... here's the thing, right? I finish at 9 o'clock. I believe I'm actually going to be working that day, which means I can't... The earliest that I can start it would be like at 9:30 in the evening, but it'll be 9:30 in the evening mountain time or western time in the U.S. So by then we'll have a pretty good idea about how things are going. Let me think here. Let me just take a look. The election is what day today this year? The first Tuesday of November, right?
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, I believe it's November 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th, if our memory suits me correctly, is when the U.S. elections are.
Okay, so... Yeah, actually, this might sound crazy. I might act, oh, shit, the 5th. I go out the day after. Wow. But I'm actually going to have to start this show earlier then, because I mean I have to get packed up and everything, because I go out to work like today, which is why we're having this show at this time. That have to have the show started earlier, like say about 6 or 7 p.m. My time. They also do stuff like what I got to do as soon as I finish talking to you is I got to go put some laundry and get some laundry started here.
So we got to go get some grocery shopping done and that. So, yeah, unless you got any other questions, yeah, we'll be ready to wrap it up when you are.
Yeah, okay. Talk to Kelso when he gets back. I'll also talk to V and see if maybe you can get Rearson to come back in to do a guest spot. have to make sure that nobody gets too long-winded as well. But yeah, we'll do an election night special. Run for about 2 or 3 hours here, covering everything.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to go. All right. So thank you very much, Henrik, for showing up. This is the DNC convention special, Red Pill Nation hangout number 397. Just letting everybody know that the episode number 400 is only about 2.5 weeks away as well. So if you want to jump on board for that one, Henrik, you're more than welcome to as well. But that is it for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. All right, that's it. Have a good night, folks.
Support bigly, support badly, the Red Pill Nation and Chaos Media. Do it. Give him the money. Give us the money. Freedom, baby, let it ring in dollars.